baby. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia filling in for Diamond Gray. I've got Kip Watson in studio with me, Lexi and Avi. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, now it's afternoon. This noon.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Everybody's doing wonderful. Good, good, yes. Good. So what do you want to talk about?
You know what? I just had my first donut in probably 40 years.
You know what? Okay, so you brought in the protein donut.
It was so okay. Good. I did. And I must say it was a test. It was a test for me.
Yeah.
But I got totally schnookered by the Shark Tank show. And this, you know, this young couple was on this show, and they are the Dough Bar.
Yeah,
the Dough Bar offering Dough Bar donuts, offering these healthy alternatives to a real donut.
There's another company doing it. they're local, actually. They
Is
were.
It local?
I think they used to live here in Dallas. Now they're in Austin. It's called like Guiltless. I can't
guiltless
think of
goodies.
It. Guiltless goodies. Is that it? They're delicious. They're delicious. I don't know what, and I think the ingredients might be a little.
I get emails from them, and I don't know why.
Probably so. Because
I probably saw something, yeah. And then
no, I think we had them on the show once, like 4 years ago or something. I'm pretty sure. They're actually friends with Doug Kaufman, the founders of that company. And I first met them, I think, at the and I think they were actually at the Paleo FX the first time we went. I'm trying to remember. You meet so many people, it's hard to keep everything straight. But
right.
It's funny you bring up donuts because I get these free magazines in the mail all the time, and it's so funny. I got Martha Stewart Living, I get Shape, I get Cosmo, I get all these, you know, chick
Cosmo's
magazines.
Cosmo's worthless.
Well, you know, okay.
There's some fun ones.
Where is it? Oh, you know, I don't know if I brought it with me. No, I have it on my
That's
counter.
That's my opinion, but you know.
Well, Cosmo, you know,
It's soft porn. Come on.
It is, but I have to tell you, I mean, I read Cosmo in my 20s. I did.
It's entertaining.
I've actually been in Cosmo before for a Drift Float Spa. That was a big day.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
And the New York Times. But yeah.
I see side boob.
No big deal.
I see side boob. That's all I see.
Well, I pulled this because there's...
Is that the cover?
This is a story about playing
that
defense.
That is side boob.
I know.
And it's about breasts. We were talking about breasts before we went live on the air today.
Right.
Actually, this morning was the first time in my life I ever said to myself, I wish my boobs were smaller. Because I've gained a little weight, and it's all gone to mostly to my chest. And we were at a cocktail party last night, and we took a picture, and I will not allow it to go out because I had taken my coat off, and it's just too booby. It's terrible.
Don't listen to her. It's a great photo.
I don't think so.
It is a great photo.
I hate
it. You look sexy, but not raunchy.
I had a coat on the whole evening. I never go out like that. Never. I just don't. You know. Never mind.
Anyway.
But I saw this thing in Martha Stewart Living about, it was about breasts. We've come a long way in the battle against breast cancer, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, 1 in 8 women today still get the disease. And so I went on to read. And it's just, there's just so much bad information out there. It tells you basically to go get a mammogram. Mammograms are outdated. They're antiquated. They actually put radiation in your body. We had Dr. Jack Wolfson confirm that last week on the show, that they actually can give you cancer. Mm-hmm. And you should just do your good old-fashioned self-examination.
Yep.
What do you are you shaking your head? Yes.
Yeah.
Does that mean you agree with me, Kip?
I can be on board with that.
Yeah. Well, if you're
but I'm one that doesn't do that. Like, I don't do that regularly, and I know I should.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
Well, I do when I'm.
I do it all the time.
When you're washing them. Right?
I don't know.
I lay in my bed sometimes and I'll just do it.
You just do it.
I just do it.
I just don't think about it.
You don't think about it.
Yeah.
Well, don't get a mammogram. Get a thermography.
Do
you do the thermography.
Thermography.
And it's a little more expensive. And insurance doesn't cover it. So it makes me think, okay, are the insurance companies in bed with the mammogram, you know, the whole industry?
Probably.
Of course they probably are. And it's like, there's so much, you know what, so much BS in this country and so much greed. I'm just like, I'm so sick of it. Everywhere you turn, there's like one greedy, corrupt story after the next. That doesn't end. It doesn't end. Don't get me started. Okay.
All
talk.
Right.
We're here. This is talk radio, Kip. Talk. What are you thinking?
Wait, you were on a rant.
I didn't want to interrupt
the rant.
That was not a rant.
Well, but no, I've seen worse. That's
yes.
for sure.
Yes.
But no, I mean, the whole, for me, this is interesting because I am a medical healthcare provider mm-hmm. for some insurance companies. Mm-hmm. But I can't afford my own insurance. So yeah. I don't have health insurance.
Yeah.
Well, which is crazy.
Yeah.
My health insurance is so expensive and I've got a $10,000 deductible. I never use it. I basically have it just in case something catastrophic happens.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous, the cost of healthcare now. Ridiculous. And I was thinking this, you know, so many people, you hear, about cancer, how to cure cancer. How about we prevent cancer in the mm-hmm. first place by being vigilant about what we put in our bodies and hold these big food companies accountable for the, you know what?
Well, I know that's a big part of this show. I actually, my son and I, believe it or not, had this conversation the other day, and I told him, I said, I don't believe there'll ever be a cure for cancer because it would destroy too many jobs and too many money machines. And I just don't think there'll ever be a cure. And he looked at me and he went,
Well, there is a cure. There's plenty of cures. And you can use them for different ones. Over in Germany, they're curing cancer right now with using like internal heat on your body, on the tumors, to shrink them and kill them within like, thermography, within like 30 days. What was the name of the guy we had on that the...
Jeff Weitzman.
Cancer can be killed.
Cancer can be killed, and it can. It's huge.
They're doing that
huge
in
business.
Germany?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
They're doing ozone?
Cryo.
There's all kinds
IV,
of stuff. Yeah.
All that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. But insurance doesn't pay for any of that. So, right. You know,
and that's why America will end up caving in on itself. It's because of gluttony and greed.
Greed. Let's talk about greed, Kip.
All right.
Come on.
I
don't know. You're the shrink.
Why are
what makes people greedy?
Greedy?
What is at the very core of human beings that are incredibly greedy, that they put money before anything?
I think it's an underlying motive which you can't see, and sometimes that is security and safety. Sometimes it's power and control. And then sometimes it's absolutely about fun and pleasure
mm-hmm.
because money gives you all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the money itself, but it's the motive behind the money. And I think it's slightly different for some people than others.
Well, I think
those are the family of motives where it comes from.
Right. Well, and I don't think money should be demonized. It shouldn't. You can do a lot of beautiful things
good
with
things.
Money, good things
well,
with money.
Well, it reveals what's really inside your heart.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
People, I say this all the time, not so much on the air, but people find time and money for what's important to them 100% of the time. That is the God's truth when it comes to time and money.
Sometimes I wish I was more motivated by money because maybe mm-hmm. I'd be making more and
yeah.
wouldn't be like slowly killing myself with how many hours I do work. But money has never really been a motivator for me.
Yeah.
It's been helping people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
You know?
Me too.
And serving people.
Well, so I love what we're talking about today with you. In fact, mm-hmm. we're talking about challenging yourself. Kip Watson is a professional. She's a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and a sports psychology professional. We also have Judith Schwartz coming up on the show. She's been on twice before. Water in Plain Sight is her book. And she also wrote the book Cows Save the Planet. And her books explore nature-based solutions to our many challenges in the world. And we've got Leon Seltzer. He's a PhD coming on for the first time. He's going to be talking about uncharted territories and talking about sexual harassment punishment and how fair it is or is not for mostly men. You know, I mean, women are guilty of it too, but not to the same extent that men are, because men and women are very different. Men are, don't you think men are so much more sexual? There's more sexual creatures than women. I mean,
yes, physically speaking, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, come on. We women are very sexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. No, we are. But, you know,
but
I think that women, you know, I don't know.
What? Why are you pointing at me?
Because I was thinking about a conversation we had last night.
The pregnant lady in the room.
Yeah, the pregnant lady.
We talked about my pregnancy and how it's changed.
And sex last night.
My sex drive.
Yeah. And
well, that
it does.
It does.
Yeah.
Definitely happens.
I've got a higher libido and a more enjoyable sex life.
Yeah.
Now that I'm pregnant.
Yeah. But a lot of men are turned off by pregnancy, too.
Oh, see.
They are.
Not Ryan.
Not Ryan.
Ryan's like, let's do it every chance we can. And I'm like, I just want to go to sleep or eat a snack. Okay?
Without, oh, my gosh.
Without you.
Yeah, this girl's
top.
Getting more sex than all of us.
I know. For sure.
the pregnant one.
I'm enjoying my life right now.
Oh my gosh, we've got a great show coming up, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. It's HM Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Imagine you're in a room surrounded by animals. There are about 2 dozen chickens, 1 cow, 1 pig, 1 turkey, and about 12 fish. You spend some time with the animals, getting to know them one by one. You quickly learn that each has a unique personality. You meet Sally, a chicken who purrs like a cat when petted. Jasmine, a cow whose favorite snacks are apples. Louie, a pig who seems smarter than your dog. Pearl, a turkey who loves to sunbathe. And Max, a fish who enjoys belly rubs. Before you leave the room, someone tells you, these are the very animals who will be killed for your food this year. Unless, that is, you decide to save them. Will you?
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia filling in for Diamond Gray. I've got Lexi and Avi in studio with me, as well as Kip Watson. And I have Judith Schwartz on the line. She is the author of Cows Save the Planet and Water in Plain Sight. Her books explore nature-based solutions to our many challenges. She speaks around the country and around the world and is based in southern Vermont. You can find her at judithdschwartz.com. Always a pleasure. Judith, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, I love having you on the show. It's been about a year. You've been on a couple times before. And, of course, we're talking about Water in Plain Sight, your book, A Hope for a Thirsty World. So you say that soil is an important part of our water infrastructure, so much more than pipes and culverts. Why so or how so?
All right. Basically, because that's the way nature works. Healthy soil is a sponge. So if you have soil that has, you know, if the ground is healthy and rich in organic matter, then it holds so much more water, which is crucial in terms of resilience to flooding and drought. Okay, I'll give you a statistic and then we can make it real.
Okay.
So basically, okay, so the we're talking about carbon-rich soil, the main ingredient of soil organic matter, you know, that good, you know, very dark stuff that gardeners know feels really good in the hand. So that's mostly carbon. So for every 1% increase in soil organic carbon, that represents an added 20,000 gallons of water per acre that can be held in the soil. So that means held in the soil as opposed to running off and carrying off pollutants and fertilizers and chemicals and whatever. It also means that it's staying there so that if it doesn't rain, the plants can still flourish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that sounds kind of abstract, but in the real world, it gets real really quickly. So here we are. You know, the next couple of days, the northeast, the southeast coast of our country is facing this, you know, really pretty scary looking hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the winds apparently are moderating, but the fear is the inland flooding.
Right.
So when we have, you know, when we have like the built environment roads and we have, damaged soil, as much of our soil is compacted, you know, the typical lawn, kind of industrial farms, just, you know, areas that aren't being used but haven't been really replenished. Well, you know, the water's going to run off. They're going to get flooding. I mean, who knows? We saw this in Vermont several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had been thinking of soil as our water infrastructure, we could be more prepared for intense rainfall.
Mm-hmm. You know, you speak about rain and made me think of, should we be collecting rainwater? I don't know if I've ever asked you that.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Certainly depends. It depends where you are, how urgent that is. But even here in Vermont, where it rains an awful lot, and I mean an awful lot, you know, we had some really dry periods. And by collecting rainwater, I mean, there are many ways to do it. There are ways to collect rainwater so that it flows directly to the plants that you want to support.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have in a place like Phoenix, Arizona, or it's Tucson, Arizona, they collect rainwater, like people are allowed to cut the curbs. And so that I know of people that have a food forest, because the water goes directly to support the trees.
Nice.
So right in the middle of an urban area that's in a very dry zone.
Mm-hmm.
So collecting rainwater is great because the water that precipitates has been cleansed through and purified through the process of condensation.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, we're talking about soil. There's so many different types of soil. I know here, you know, in Texas and Oklahoma, we've got a lot of, that's why they call it like the Red River Showdown. And the soil is red with a lot of clay. Is there any special provisions that we need to consider when working with clay soil?
That I don't know. We actually have very heavy clay soil here too. I think the most important thing is not necessarily the type of soil, but that the soil is covered. So when rain falls, we think of rain often as, you know, nourishing and gentle. But when rain hits bare soil, it's like a kind of violence. I've seen on images under a microscope and like a raindrop or, you know, great magnification, a raindrop descends on bare soil and you see it like, you know, like little silt and sand particles leaping up. It's like, you know, like shards of glass.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing is to keep soil covered with plants, and healthy soil will be covered with plants. Plants will appear. If you have good soil, you will have plants.
Well, is it when you're talking about, you know, the water basically having movement, I'm thinking, so is it helpful to think of water as a verb as opposed to a noun?
I strongly agree with that. Often when we think about water, we think about it as a thing, you know, like you have some and, you know, and someone else needs that for irrigation. So that limits the way that we understand water, because what I found so exciting in researching my book is the appreciation that water is continually in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And by understanding water processes, not only can we better address our water concerns, too much water or not enough water or, you know, problems like that, but we can also address many other challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So the three processes that I'll try not to sound too scientific here,
okay. But
that I focus on are infiltration, and that's the holding of water moving through the soil and through the ecosystem, and then transpiration, which is the upward movement of water through plants, and condensation, which is the formation of clouds and the formation of precipitation as water falls. And what's so interesting about this is just how much of our climate, how much of our weather conditions and our unique conditions of where we live are determined by the movement of water. And so much of this is driven by plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in your book, you mentioned that some places suffer from drought no matter how much rain they get. How can this be?
Yeah, again, when we think about is a place dry, we often think that has to do with how much rainfall they get. But really, it's this infiltration. It's how much water they can hold on the ground. So for an example, for my reporting, I was in Southern Africa, and they have a dry season and a fairly brief rainy season. So if the rain falls on desertified land, on land that isn't rich in carbon or organic matter and isn't covered with plants, well, then you're going to lose all that water and it doesn't do you any good. But there are areas that I was able to see where they've really, really worked to improve the soil, to make sure that it's covered with plants. And those areas have been able to hold on to the moisture so that in one place a river started to flow year-round and it hadn't done so for generations.
Wow.
So there's a lot that you can do. And one other thing about that, this was in Zimbabwe, that it sounds kind of like, water infiltration that doesn't really sound very, very meaningful. However, in one rural community that I went to, keeping water in the ground made the difference between being self-sufficient in food and being dependent on international food aid,
mm-hmm.
because that extended the period in which they could grow crops.
Wow.
So this was like, this was, you know, life-changing for them.
That's huge. It's huge. I want to ask you a couple questions. We're going to run out of time, though. I've got 2 minutes. Okay. Last time you were on the show, we talked about the millions of people's backyards. What do you want to say about that? Because we didn't get to it, and I had it in my notes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, with any time you have any bit of land, you have an opportunity to improve that land, because the typical lawn... Actually, research found that the typical New Jersey lawn was about the hardness of concrete, which means that water is not going to infiltrate there. But there's a lot that you can do, and one really simple thing that you can do is to add other plants to your lawn. What we consider weeds,
mm-hmm.
actually, those are plants like dandelions,
yeah.
that are, are going deeper into the soil, and that in itself will allow more water to be held on the land. Yeah, there's a lot that can be done with lawns. But definitely, the monoculture lawn is a disaster because those plants are very shallow rooted.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't really work in the soil. They don't, they don't allow for the flow of air and water in the soil. So you're just going to lose that water.
It's all so interesting. It really is. I hope you'll come back. I wanted to ask you about the forest and a lot of other things, but we're out of time. Always a pleasure. Judith Schwartz, thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. The name of Judith's book is Water in Plain Sight and Cows Save the Planet. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker, and this is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Hey y'all, it's Bernadette. We are so excited to be Ruby sponsors for the SPCA Fur Ball this year. And you know what? We wouldn't be able to do it without the help of our sponsors, great companies like Squatty Potty, Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein, Sunlight and Infrared Saunas, the H Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. It takes a team to make a change, and helping the SPCA save animals in North Texas is just one of our many missions. Thank you for your support, too, and thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Kip Watson. I've got Avi and Lexi in studio with me, and I have Leon Seltzer, PhD, on the line. He holds doctorates in both English and psychology. Dr. Seltzer specializes in anger, trauma resolution, couples conflict, compulsive addictive behaviors, and depression. He was formerly an English professor at Queens College and Cleveland State University. He now lives in Del Mar, California, where he's maintained a private practice for over 30 years. Dr. Seltzer's article, Uncharted Territory, was featured in Psychology Today, and it's such a pleasure to have you on the air with us today. Dr. Seltzer, welcome to One Life Radio.
It's good to be here.
Well, and I can tell you're an English professor by the way you write. All I can say is, wow. You have an incredible and very articulate vocabulary, I might add. Incredible. And thank you so much for being with us. So let's talk about this uncharted territory. So cultural factors that contribute to sexual harassment are under scrutiny right now. At the same time, fundamental biological truths continue to be ignored. So why has this problem not been effectively challenged?
We have to realize that we are still living in a male-dominated society. This is a patriarchal society, and women are just now beginning to break through the so-called glass ceiling. And in many ways, they've been forced to remain silent up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of career advancement, they're kind of expected to dress in a sexy way, not to dress like men dress, because men don't like aggressive women. And in many ways, they have felt that they couldn't step forward, and now that's beginning to happen. And unfortunately, to have a war between the sexes isn't going to finally resolve anything.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, I agree. And so, gosh, I mean, this is really a complex thing. It is. So how fair is the sexual harassment punishment on men who have crossed the line?
Well, I guess, to me, it hasn't overall been very fair, because too frequently the transgressors are lumped together. And in the article, I make a point that the worst abusers are ones that just have this outsized sense of power, privilege, entitlement, and they think it's their right, it's their prerogative, basically to treat women as objects of sexual gratification. They obviously need to be handled differently from a second group of transgressors, and those would be the men whose instincts or better instincts are sort of subverted from within,
mm-hmm.
simply because they, as opposed to the worst group of transgressors, do care and respect women, but sometimes their libido, their sex drive, gets the better of them,
mm-hmm.
and they end up embarrassing women or humiliating them. The difference between that group and the first group is they do feel guilty afterwards, and they recognize that they can't simply rationalize what they've done. That's
right.
The second group. The third group, sort of the least of the three, are just kind of obtuse or naive, and they just don't understand that if they put their arm around a woman or kiss them on the lips or something like that, that could be very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
For a woman, they could feel humiliated by that, even though the intention of the male is innocent enough. They
yeah.
mean it to be an affectionate gesture, but they, too, in a sense, cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
If in fact, the woman really feels transgressed against. So, obviously, to punish all three at the same level, and this has been done in the past few years, is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Because these men need to be educated. Punishment is not really anything that's going to resolve anything.
Right.
This is why education is such an important factor in beginning to change things in culture that need to be changed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, it's kind of a case here, the way I see it, that, you know, a few high-profile offenders, or bad apples, if you will, have kind of spoiled the whole bunch. And we're focusing on those few instead of, you know, all men. And I don't think that, I think that so many men do not ever fall into this any of the categories, really. Maybe the third one that you talked about, in most circumstances, they just don't know that, you know, maybe their naivety, you know, makes them cross the line, but they don't really mean any harm by it. Having said that, so how can a man's biology make it difficult for him to not sexually harass women?
Well, this isn't always true, but on the average, men have a much stronger sex drive than women do.
I said that at the beginning of the show.
And the main thing is the impulse for some kind of physical intimacy is so strong that most men can resist it and even acknowledge that there's a part of them that would really like to objectify the woman for their own sexual pleasure. But there are men who can't resist it. And that seems like I'm making an excuse for them. It's the last thing I want to do. But if, in fact, they grew up in a particular culture or subculture in which they learned it was the man's right
mm-hmm.
to have their way with women, and this is why there are a lot of men who think that a husband cannot rape his wife because she has an obligation to perform sexually at any time,
mm-hmm.
Whether she wants to or not. But it is rape because it's an essential violation of somebody's boundaries. It's an intrusion. It's something that really is morally abhorrent.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all men are going to have, well, I shouldn't say all men, because some men have a low libido. But the other thing to keep in mind is a high sex drive, and fulfilling it is really associated with dopamine, which lights up the pleasure centers of one's brain, and it's hard for anybody to resist something that basically would give them so much pleasure, so much gratification. In other words, that itself is a strong motivating factor. And just as men need to learn to be far more empathic toward a woman's experience, it would be helpful if women realize what men have to do in order to prevent themselves from acting out a strong sex drive.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the conundrum of testosterone that you speak about in the article that you wrote for Psychology Today. That's a big one, isn't it?
It is very big. It's probably maybe finally even bigger than the psychological factors and the cultural factors.
Mm-hmm.
But just to understand that men physically, it's almost like nature wants babies. So how can we make babies the most desirable thing to make? Well, make sexual intercourse something that would be so delightful, so tempting, that it could be hard for a lot of men to resist that.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us more about the worst offenders? Is there any hope for them? Guys like, I don't want to name names here, but I'm going to, because I myself was so shocked by Matt Lauer and what happened at ABC. I thought it was shocking that went on for so long.
Well, the interesting thing is that a lot of people who are well-known, famous, there's something about the perks of being in the limelight. And a lot of people who are famous because they are driven to succeed, driven to feel superior to other people. And what that means is they do have a sense of entitlement. And men who have a strong sense of entitlement and somehow think that maybe that's their right, they ought to be able to do this and get away with it, typically have less empathy than other men.
Yeah.
And they do get away with it because women are afraid to say no, because sometimes they are threatened that they will not be promoted or they won't even be retained if they speak out. These men generally are some of the hardest to really deal with because if they do have personality disorders, the most common of which would be narcissistic and sociopathic, they don't feel guilt afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why the behavior continues over time, because they just have a sense that they're entitled to use women in this fashion.
Well, you know, it actually, my first job, right out of the gate, my first day, it actually happened to me at McDonald's many years ago in upstate New York. And my manager slapped me on the rear end, and I turned around and told him if he ever touched me again, I was going to slap him right back. I got fired the next day. But I'll never forget it, because it was like, wow, you know, and I kept it, you know, kept it in my hat, kept the information in my hat, and always watch myself from that point forward. But what are some of the problems in seeking severe punishment for men who cross the line?
Well, if it's uniform, in other words, you can cross the line even by kissing a woman on the cheek if she sees that as a violation.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, the punishment has to be related to how severe the offense is, how badly the person has crossed the line. There's so many ambiguities there, because let's say a man kisses a woman on a cheek, and most women would see that as a gesture of affection. It wouldn't bother them. But a particular woman has been molested or raped in the past, maybe even as a child, and that could re-traumatize her.
Right. That's a great point.
The main thing is, how subjective do we want to get? I think we really have to consider the severity of the offense as much, maybe more, than the particular individual who has felt offended, because they could feel mortally offended by something that other people, most people, would see to be relatively innocent.
Mm-hmm.
This is why there has to be much greater sensitivity to each individual case, and I always think it's better to work on increasing a man's empathy than simply to punish that man that will simply have a negative effect on how he sees women. And maybe if the punishment is sufficiently severe, he'll be better able to control his impulses. But how will that affect the way he relates to women thereafter?
Mm-hmm. This is an intriguing subject. I hope to talk with you more about it again in the future. Dr. Seltzer, thank you so much for jumping on One Life Radio with us.
Okay, glad to be here.
All right, that was great. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Okay. Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of HM Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from HM Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try HM Company products. Search HM Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's HM Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
My friend, you could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me
on, guys,
again,
I would understand.
I have my singing lesson tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Singing and dancing, that's me. Yeah. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I want to let everyone know you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or our podcast after the broadcast, or subscribe to our newsletter. And you can also go to iheartmedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors that bring this programming to you. Great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get Sun Warrior at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powder and supplements. And of course, the H-Hemp Company. Use the code OLR for 20% off your first order, made only with premium hemp cannabinoid genetics, not hemp used for seeds, protein, or rope. And it's tested by third parties to ensure no pesticides, solvents, or other contaminants, non-GMO, and containing all natural ingredients. Sunlight and infrared sauna. I was in mine last night after the event. I
want to come try.
I know
that.
You need to come and do it. I have my whole woman cave. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really nice. It looks. My daughter said it looks like Pinterest in there.
It does.
It's so pretty. So I did my sunlight and sauna last night. I can't remember which one I did. If I did anti-aging or I don't remember, but I'm doing it again tonight, too, after I sing and dance.
There you go.
Got plans.
Then I might pick up my Paleo magazine or my well-being journal and read them. And I do that while I'm in there. So always great to have you in studio. Kip Watson, she is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and a sports psychology professional. She has 2 master's degrees, nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. She is a certified high-performance coach, a former professional athlete, and a mom of 2 teenagers. You can find her on Twitter at KipFit. Love having this girl in studio today. We're talking about challenging yourself. Okay, so
yes.
Look in the mirror. That's your competition, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What does this mean?
Well, you have to stare yourself down in the face. And a lot of people do not want to look at themselves and really admit what's wrong, what's not right, where I got to grow, what I got to change. And to learn what your personal best is, you absolutely have to learn to challenge yourself, call yourself to the carpet, admit when you're wrong.
There's a concept.
Right? Admit it. You are your toughest adversary because a lot of times you're blind to what's wrong, but sometimes you're not. You just don't want to admit it.
Have you ever looked in the mirror at yourself, like deep in at yourself in the mirror? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have too. Have you ever, Lexi?
I don't, like, what do you mean?
Like, look at yourself in the mirror. I wrote a song
like,
one night looking
down.
At myself, and the
stare
name of the song was the about mirror. Looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Seriously. Well, I think you don't do it. That's why I asked Lexi and Avi. Yeah, Avi, no. Have you ever done that? Because
yeah.
They're younger, and I think it's something. Well, you have? Okay.
Yeah. I think I freak myself out, though, when I do it too long.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you the only one looking back at you is you, right? And that's where if you can get in tune with yourself enough, you can actually see, because your head will start revealing it to you, what your limitations are, what your self-doubts are.
I don't want to do that.
It's scary. That's scary.
No. Well, I know. And that's why people don't do it. But that's why they never reach personal best. It's because they're not willing to do that.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm not. It's not. It's
not
yes,
easy.
It can be painful.
If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Right,
so
right.
So what's the difference between being growth minded versus goal minded?
Well, I think a lot of times, we set goals. A lot of people set goals. Some people, they're just in their head, and a lot of people write them down. It's better to write them down. However, when we write goals, it's really important. We may have an outcome or that specific goal, whether it's, a number on the scale or whether it's winning the game or, whatever it might, landing the deal, reaching a certain sales number. Goals can be where we get sort of tunnel visioned and we become obsessed on that singular goal, like winning or losing, getting the sale or not, hitting the number or not. Where if we focus on growth, then we're actually, in essence, breaking down those goals into the process parts toward achieving the goal. And that's actually a much better strategy is when I set growth goals rather than outcome.
Yeah, I could see that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think it's, slow natural growth is the best way to do anything, whether it's cooking a stew or building a company. That, in my opinion, you have to have a lot of patience and a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah.
Constantly.
And I think when you're in growth mindset, like the game is never over, right? You learn from it. Like I was just telling you on the break, my son and I stayed up till 5:30 in Saturday morning after Friday night's game, just looking at the game film, looking at every play, dissecting what went right, what went wrong, what he could do different. And he was asking me, which was cherished time.
Oh,
it was great, right? But that was, we were in growth mindset, even though we lost the game. It didn't destroy him. It became motivation of what do I got to learn? And as captain, what do I need to help my teammates learn so that we can get better?
I love it. He's an offensive lineman. Is that what he is?
He's the center, and then he's a defensive tackle.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I was completely wrong.
He plays both ways.
Oh, he does. Okay. Well, he performed beautifully, didn't he?
Yeah.
Even though they didn't win the game. And sometimes that happens,
I'm just so proud of him. He's a big guy, big lineman chasing. One play he ran, sprinted 60 yards.
That's awesome.
Tackled the running back. It was great.
I love it. So, you know, it's important to focus on strengths, but what about weaknesses? You say it's important to develop these as well.
Yeah. Well, the research is there that if we do focus on strengths, more likely to be satisfied with our job and with our work, and actually it leads to a greater income when you're doing something you love to do and it's in your zone of your ability and your capabilities and where you're strong. However, it is still important when you do look in the mirror and realize where you have some weaknesses that you develop those. Sometimes it's a skill. Sometimes it's just knowledge that you need. And sometimes it's even some of those things that we are intangible, like a lack of confidence or motivation or making decisions based on mood versus the objective facts. And those things are things that you can still learn and will be necessary for success.
How important is a mentor?
Oh,
or several
game
mentors?
Changer. Game changer. Everybody needs a mentor, and maybe in the different aspects of your life, both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. But these are the people that you allow to challenge you as well as yourself, right? And they are the people that hold you accountable. And their advice and their insight can really make a difference towards pushing you to your personal best.
Yeah, I think you can't surround yourself with yes men or yes women. You have to have people out there that can give you constructive criticism so you can grow.
Yeah, and so it's like, no, that's not a good idea. And you need to adhere to that or at least consider it.
Yeah.
Right?
Good stuff. Kip Watson, always a pleasure challenging yourself. You can find Kip on Twitter at KipFit. And I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or the podcast after the broadcast or subscribe to our newsletter. Go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors again, Sun Warrior, Sun Lighten Infrared Saunas, the H Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.
Hello, I'm Ali McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Hi, I'm Laravelle Bundy for PETA. Every summer, thousands of dogs die from heat stroke after being left alone in hot cars. The inside of a car can reach 100 degrees in minutes, even in the shade with the window slightly open. Keep your dog cool and safe this summer. Never leave them in unattended hot cars. If you see a dog alone in a car during warm weather, call the humane authorities, the police, or do whatever is necessary to get the dog out. His or her life may depend upon it. Thank you.
For more information, visit PETA.org.